But! Hey, but! I groaned as Frederick and his brother Bruno approached with menacing grins on their faces. Frederick and Bruno were the Miller's sons. They were close to my age, but so big, twice my size and ugly as trolls. Happy birthday, but! We have a present just for you. Frederick threw a clod of dirt at me. My stubby hands tried to block it, but it smashed right in my face and I gagged at the smell. The clod of dirt was not dirt. Now that's a gift worthy of your name, said Bruno. Other children howled with laughter. Leave him alone, said a girl named Red. She glared at Frederick and Bruno, holding her shovel over her shoulder like a weapon. The other children stopped laughing. Oh, said Frederick. Do you love Butt? That's not his name, growled Red. Then what is it? Why doesn't he tell us? Rump, I said without thinking. My name is Rump. They burst out laughing. I had done just what they wanted. But that's not my real name, I said desperately. It isn't? Asked Frederick. What do you think his real name is? Asked Bruno. Frederick pretended to think very hard. Something unusual. Something special. Cow Rump. Baby Rump, said Bruno. Rump Roast. Everyone laughed.
Are you a Yankee fan, kid?
Yes, sir.
The big guy arched an eyebrow. You play baseball?
Yes, sir.
He laughed. Can you say something besides, yes, sir? Everyone calls me Big Julie.
Yes, sir. I mean, Big Julie, I'm in the Little League majors. I hope to make All-Stars.
Roger walked toward my house. What position do you play?
They stuck me out in right field, I said. My dad wants me to play shortstop like he did when he was my age.
What's wrong with right field?
Roger said.
That's my position, you know.
Wow, that's right.
Looks like we have something in common,
Roger said. Big Julie stepped down from the porch and waddled up to me and Roger.
But can you hit?
I need some help with my swing right now. But I've hit 5 home runs so far this year. Roger smiled.
You sound like my kind of guy.
Can I ask you something, Mr. Maris?
Shoot.
I thought you and the Mick hated each other. I mean, the paper and even TV.
The screen door creaked open, and Mickey came outside smiling. The newspaper likes to play that up. Mick and I are good friends, Roger said. And we'll still be buddies after I break the Babe's record.
Roger winked at me.
You mean after I do?
Maybe you'll both break the record, I said.
Vomit came rushing over the guardrail of the top bunk like a wave flowing over Niagara Falls in the springtime. It even shared its color, a bright blue, unnatural for what it was. It certainly had nothing else in common with the peace and serenity that accompany the world-famous natural monument. It was putrid and hot, and when it hit the tile floor and wooden ladder leading to the top bunk, it made an unnerving, slapping sound. Nothing could really be further from the beautiful waterfall. It was the middle of the night in a condo across the street from Disneyland. My 4-year-old son's stomach was very effectively discharging the bright blue cupcakes we had eaten previously that day while celebrating his little brother's 3rd birthday. A deluge of neon vomit is never on the top of my list for awesome activities in the middle of the night. But this was even worse, because I was laying directly beneath him on my back, and the chunks of vomit were splashing and ricocheting all around me like bombs in an old-time World War II movie. But not just around me. Oh no, I was hit.
During uphill that evening, I search for Andres, wondering how his day spent in the SS barracks has gone. But during the count, he's nowhere in sight. Standing at attention, I don't have a clear view of everyone, I realize. I'm probably just overlooking him. When we all line up for dinner, though, I still can't find him. Now I'm worried. Quickly, I return to the barracks. Maybe he's there for some reason. But when I reach our bunks, Andres's mattress is folded over, a sure sign of an abandoned space. A lump forms in my throat. I swallow hard. When I see our barracks commander standing around nearby, I rush over and ask him, "Sir, have you seen Andres?" By now, I'm already half crying. "Your brother was taken to sick bay early this afternoon," he reports. "He was too weak to perform his duties." Instantly, I'm filled with dread. Next, I rush over to the sick bay barracks. Here, I'm told by the Wehrmacht on duty, "No visitors allowed." Frantically, I ask him, "But have you seen Andres? Have you seen my brother? A tall, light-haired Hungarian fellow?" "There are many new people here. I don't know. May I go in and look?" "I am sorry. No visitors are allowed inside." Tonight I can't sleep. I toss and turn, worried and scared. This is the first night Andres and I have spent apart since this whole ordeal began. He then pulled the puck back, drew his stick to the right, and flipped the puck backhanded into the open net. A split second after the red light flashed on, the final buzzer clanged, sending Brad's teammates pouring around him and pummeling him excitedly. "Well, you were always dramatic," TJ commented, as the words, "Bayview goal by number 17, Brad McKendrick," boomed over the loudspeaker. TJ disappeared for a moment, returning a second later with the game-winning puck. "Here, someone once told me it was for luck." Brad smiled. "Smart person," he said, accepting it. "You in the mood to meet a scout?" TJ laughed. "After I take a shower, maybe." "You in the mood to accept a trophy?" Brad grinned. "Yeah, I suppose I could settle for that." Slapping gloves, they merged into the circle of their teammates, on their way to accept their trophy.